Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, there's good news and there's bad news. I guess on a whole lot of different levels. The good news is Barack Obama just gave a brilliant speech on the economy. Really, it's the first salvo in a sales pitch. I mean, let's just be clear about this. He was not laying out the specifics, although there were some broad particulars. And I'll share some of these clips with you of this as we go through this first hour and through the show today. The bad news is that CNN was running a special on the new book that Lamar Waldron and I have out called Legacy of Secrecy about the Kennedy assassination and the Martin Luther King assassination. And you have to go to CNN.com, I guess, to see it, because they're all over the Obama speech. And so we got bumped. I got cut again. This is the second time CNN has done this to me. Back 15 years ago or so. I don't remember how long ago. When was Lorena Bobbitt? It was a long time ago. It was when I was living in Atlanta. So it had to be, you know, close to 20 years ago. And I had written a book on attention deficit disorder, and it was making a lot of press and a lot of news and getting a lot of national. And CNN wanted me to come on and talk about it. And I went down the day before and met with, what was her name, Sylvia, the woman who did the morning show on CNN at the time. And, you know, we did a bit of a rehearsal. And so the next morning I was supposed to show up there at 6 a.m. and to be on the morning show, on CNN's morning show. And I get a call at 5 in the morning. And the producer says, the Lorena Bobbitt trial is going live at the same time that we had booked you to be on the morning show. And so I'm really sorry, but we're going to have to bump you off the show. We're going to have to cut your segment and go to Lorena Bobbitt. And then there's this pause for a moment, and she kind of chuckles, and she says, I guess you could say you were cut by Lorena Bobbitt. You were the second guy to be cut by Lorena Bobbitt. So anyhow, but nonetheless, Barack Obama knocked it out of the ballpark today. And here's what you're going to get on this program that you're not going to get on any other talk radio show, except perhaps those that follow this to the extent that this show becomes show prep for other shows. And that's the backstory. Why are we here? This is not just Republican irresponsibility. This is not just the failure of ideology. This mess that we are in, it's not just Phil Graham doing away with Glass-Steagall. It's not just, I mean, you know, there's a whole bunch of, it's not just the savings and loan crisis. It's not just, you know, unregulated bankers and all that kind of thing. In fact, in a very, very real way, those are all symptoms of the real cause. And the real cause goes back to the mid-70s. With conservative and Republican thinkers, plotters, schemers, people who hate America, at least at the way that it was conceived by our founders, planning on how they could gain power. In their mind, ideally even permanent power, but at least the majority of the power over the short term and over the long term, so that they could make themselves wealthy, A, and but perhaps most important, B, so that they could have America in the vision that it has been held since conservatives, well, since the very early days, since John Adams with the Alien and Sedition Acts, our first conservative president, the second president of the United States, the guy who shut down 20 newspapers. He put Benjamin Franklin Bach, Ben Franklin's grandson, in prison because Ben Franklin's grandson dared to write that President John Adams was old, toothless, balding, and querulous, combative. For this, he put him in prison. Okay, the conservatives from the founding of this country have believed that if the majority of the people participate in governance, it's a bad thing. The conservative worldview is that you must have a small governing elite. It must be the good people, the few good people. And how do you define the good people? Well, they're the rich ones, because riches, just ask John Calvin, right, the founder of Calvinism, the Calvinist church. This was a very, very popular notion for hundreds. It still is. The way that you know the good people, they're the ones God blessed. And how do you know that God blessed them? Because they're rich. So this was the goal, to strip America of small-d democracy and replace it with an autocracy. How to go about doing it? How do you achieve maximum power in a nation where the vast majority of the people would really rather not have a small group have maximum power? You do it with the two Santa Claus theory. I mentioned this yesterday, Jude Wininski, just in passing. I have the details for you now. I was just running off memory. I've done my homework since then. This is where it all began. And I want to lay this out for you as we go through this hour, through this program today. By the way, in our second hour, Tina Brown is going to drop by, talk about the Daily Beast, her new project. In our third hour, Colonel Robert Chandler, the U.S. Air Force retired, PhD in political science, the author of a new book, Will Western Capitalism Survive? He's going to tell us how the liberals are trying to destroy America. But first, Barack Obama and his comments.
Nearly 2 million jobs have been now lost. And on Friday, we're likely to learn that we lost more jobs last year than at any time since World War II. Just in the past year, another 2.8 million Americans who want and need full-time work have had to settle for part-time jobs. Manufacturing has hit a 28-year low.
Now, let's see. 28 years ago, what was going on? Oh, yeah, that was Ronald Reagan. 28 years ago. What a surprise. Yeah. So he's identified the problem that we have a job loss that we haven't seen since the Great Depression, the last Republican Great Depression. And, you know, Barack Obama is such a nice guy. It really helped him during the election. He didn't call out John McCain. He didn't point out the horrible things that were being done. He called it silliness, things like that. But there comes a time, in my humble opinion, when it's useful for a politician to actually call these guys out. Now, hopefully that time, or maybe he'll have attack dogs who do it. But this was Barack Obama identifying, broadly speaking, the issue. He continued.
This crisis did not happen solely by some accident of history or normal turn of the business cycle.
See, and this is such an important point. This was not a normal turn of the business cycle, and it was not an accident of history. This was intentional. Now, what he doesn't tell you in the speech is what I'm going to tell you, which is how this thing was planned going all the way back to the 1970s and how it came about. Obama continues.
And we won't get out of it by simply waiting for a better day to come, or relying on the worn-out dogmas of the past. We arrived at this point due to an era of profound irresponsibility that stretched from corporate boardrooms to the halls of power in Washington, D.C.
And frankly, it went beyond that. I mean, that's where it ended up. But it started with a group of conservatives saying, you know, how can we do this? What can we? Let's make this thing happen. As I said, I'll tell you the details of that in a minute.
Politicians spend taxpayer money without wisdom or discipline, and too often focused on scoring political points instead of problems they were sent here to solve.
Okay, and that gets to the heart of it. That gets right to the heart of it. This goes back to a guy named Jude Wininski, who back in the 70s laid out the blueprint for this whole thing, for the theft of American government. He and Grover Norquist were the guys who really put this thing together. Jude Wininski invented the term supply-side economics. It was a revolutionary thing. As Robert Novak, yes, that guy, you know, the Dark Prince is the phrase he likes to use referring to him. So he's not the guy who coined it, but he loves it when people call him that. As Robert Novak wrote in 2005 in Real Clear Politics, his column, his nationally syndicated column, he says, the late supply-side pioneer Jude Wininski, wrote about two governmental Santa Clauses, one bestowing spending increases and the other bestowing tax cuts. For 50 years, until the supply-side revolution in the late 1970s, Republicans rejected both Santa Clauses and cemented their minority political status. You get this? Historically, Republicans were opposed to tax cuts. They thought that a balanced budget was a good thing. And historically, Republicans were opposed to government spending. Now, what Jude Waninsky did is he came along and he said, you can, Republicans, you can now be in favor of tax cuts. You can be a Santa Claus to the American people. Because we've invented this thing called the Laffer Curve, and we've come up with this idea called supply-side economics that says if you cut taxes, you're actually going to raise revenue. It was a lie then. It's a lie now. It has never worked, although it still has its apologists out there. But this was one of the most despicable and intentional lies of the conservatives and the Republicans to gain power. I'll share the second one right after this break.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Tom Hartman here. Hey, guys, do you know the symptoms of an enlarged prostate? Like it or not, you probably will, because eventually it's going to happen to most of us as we get older. If you're urinating more frequently, especially if you're waking up two, maybe three times a night to go to the bathroom, that's the first sign. Second sign might be burning, pain, or even problems in the bedroom. This is not just an old man's concern. It happens to American men more often than in other countries and can occur as young as 30. So don't ignore the symptoms. Get checkups from your doctor and order your risk-free bottle of Beta Prostate to support healthy prostate functioning. Every man should take Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate will help keep your prostate healthy, and it's a natural alternative. You don't need a prescription for it. Call now and order Beta Prostate risk-free. Dial 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803. Don't put this call off till tomorrow. Call today, 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
Ed Schultz.
Is this the man?
No, this is the man talking to the man. Ed Schultz, what's going on?
Noon to 3.
Barack Obama with us. I know you voted for the farm bill. Can you speak to the folks in the heartland on ag and energy?
I come from the heartland, and I come from an agricultural state. My record goes back 10 years.
The Ed Schultz Show.
What I'm most concerned about are family farmers and family ranchers.
Noon to 3.
We've got to make sure that they're getting help, not just big agribusiness.
AM 620 KPOJ. Online at 620KPOJ.com. Here's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ.
KPOJ and Clearwater invite you to join us at the Crystal Ballroom Tuesday, January 20th for the People's Inaugural Ball, a benefit for the Oregon Food Bank. The ball's free with a ticket from KPOJ and a suggested donation of two cans of food. Entertainment at a silent auction, a couple of fun things to expect. Keep listening to KPOJ for complete details on how to win your tickets to this 21 and over only event.
And that's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station.
Worried about losing your home? Is your bank threatening to foreclose? Well, there's hope. Operation Hope, America's leading financial literacy and empowerment nonprofit. If you're facing mortgage payment challenges, we just may be able to help. Get free, reliable information and guidance by calling the Operation Hope Mortgage Hotline at 888-388-HOPE. That's 888-388-4673. Look, don't lose your home just because you didn't pick up the phone. Make that call today or visit us at operationhope.org.
You know what it's like.
Coffee.
The morning after aches and pains have kept you up. Tonight, try Advil PM and get a better night's sleep. Better than Tylenol PM because you'll spend less time lying awake with aches and pains and more time asleep. Switch to Advil PM. The difference is a better night's sleep. Use as directed. Brands or trademarks of the respective owners.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, know when to run. Never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with the gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns staring out the window at the darkness. The boredom overcame us, and he began to speak. He said,
your radio support group for We the People, Tom Hartman here with you. Yeah, you need to know when to hold them and when to fold them. And this is the time that Obama needs to be holding them and pushing it forward. Jude Winiski died in 2005. And wrote several books. The guy who invented supply-side economics, his partner in crime, was Grover Norquist. Cato Institute President Ed Crane, in an article about Winiski, titled "The GOP Slouching Towards Irrelevance," talked about how this guy gave it to the Republicans. He says, when U.S. representatives... Now, this was a decade or more ago he wrote this. When U.S. Representatives Jack Kemp, Newt Gingrich, Vin Weber, Connie Mack, and the rest discovered June Winiski and Art Laffer, they thought they'd died and gone to heaven. In supply-side economics, they found a philosophy that gave them a free pass out of the debate of the proper role of government. Just cut taxes and grow the economy. That's why you rarely, if ever, heard Kemp or Gingrich calling for spending cuts, much less the elimination of programs and departments. Pretty straightforward stuff. EconomicPrinciples.com, David Warsh, the proprietor, writing his article, Winiskiism, RIP, says George W. Bush cut taxes. He embraced the second Santa theory and rammed still more tax cuts through an all-too-willing Congress in the name of stimulating growth. Instead, what it did, obviously, was explode the budget deficit. Meanwhile, he says Bush played a little traditional Santa, shepherding through Congress the addition of an expensive pharmaceutical benefit to the national retirement medical system. That would be Medicaid Part D. Now, let's keep in mind who Obama is going to be facing. First of all, Barack Obama, being very optimistic. Good on him for this.
Our problems are rooted in past mistakes, not our capacity for future greatness.
And he announces the American Recovery and Reinvestment Plan, ARRP, which sounds a little bit like, you know, the retirement organization, but here it is.
I have moved quickly to work with my economic team and leaders of both parties on an American Recovery and Reinvestment Plan that will immediately jumpstart job creation and long-term growth. It's a plan that represents not just new policy, but a whole new approach to meeting our most urgent challenges.
There you go. So this is the essence of what Barack Obama talked about this morning. He suggested that, you know, 2 million jobs have been lost, 2.8 million part-time jobs, manufacturing is at 28-year low, that this isn't an accident of history or a normal turn of the business cycle. This was created. Now, he all but came out and said this was created intentionally. I'll say it. This was created intentionally. What the Republicans did is they said, okay, when we are in power, we are going to spend like crazy and thus buy the loyalty of the American people while we accuse the Democrats of the same. But But instead of paying for that spending in the traditional way that both parties have done, which is raising taxes so that you don't have a huge deficit, we're going to simply borrow it from our children and grandchildren. And this is why this year, if you are an average taxpayer in the United States, if you're making in the neighborhood of $45,000 to $50,000, about $1,000 of your federal tax bill is going to pay the interest on the money that Ronald Reagan borrowed following Jude Winiski's and Grover Norquist's advice. About another $2,000 of the taxes that you're paying this year is going to pay the interest on the money that George Herbert Walker Bush, the first couple of years of the Clinton administration, and George W. Bush in particular borrowed following the advice of Grover Norquist and Jude Winiski. If we don't understand how this happened, we can't fix it. Grover Norquist, some of his most famous quotes, the greatest hits of Grover Norquist. Bipartisanship, he said. Now, keep in mind, this is what Obama is calling for. And keep in mind, Grover Norquist runs the organization that sponsored the Republican, the RNC meeting last week. Grover Norquist put that thing together. Grover Norquist, here's a couple of quotes. Bipartisanship, he said, is another name for date rape. And we are trying to change the tones in the state capitals and turn them toward bitter nastiness and partisanship. If Barack Obama thinks that he's going to get a free pass on this thing because he speaks well, he's got another thing coming. I'm telling you, the right-wing talk shows today, already, right now, are going to be yelling and screaming, it's socialism, and they are going to be falling back on the two Santa Claus theory without ever telling their poor, duped listeners who think of themselves as conservatives, who don't realize that they are voting and playing into the hands of the uber-rich in America, the corporations in America, the people who hate American democracy, small-d democracy, and believe in a kleptocracy, an aristocracy of the very wealthy. So we've had 28 years of the Republicans playing both Santa Clauses, spending like crazy and giving tax cuts, and now we have a disaster.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
So here's the question. How's he going to do it? I mean, I'm telling you, the right-wing website, Drudge, for example, you know, top headline, you know, we're going to spend our way out of this. Second headline, let's print more money. The Republicans are going to go hysterical about this. They're going to absolutely go hysterical about this. Because, oh my God, it's government spending money. This, after 28 years of Republicans spending money like drunken sailors, as I said the other day, no offense to drunken sailors. I've known a few in my life, and living on the water, I've gotten to know more recently. Some of them are fine people. But I lack a better metaphor. Barack Obama says that we can actually make something here in the United States and not have the jobs outsourced. This was the one part of his entire speech that really caused me to raise an eyebrow, this little moment right here.
In the process, we will put Americans to work in new jobs that pay well and can't be outsourced.
Can't be outsourced?
Jobs building solar panels and wind turbines.
Oh, wait a minute. The wind turbines are from Vesta. We import them from Denmark. The solar panels are from four different manufacturers in China, by and large. In fact, the French company that we used to get solar panels from was bought by the Chinese. They dismantled the factory in Paris, shipped it to China, and rebuilt it. Is he announcing a change in trade policy?
Constructing fuel-efficient cars and buildings, and developing the new energy technologies that will lead to even more jobs, more savings, and a cleaner, safer planet in the bargain.
Okay, this is the one place where I'm having a little skeptical moment. We invented the transistor. Who made transistor radios? Japan. We invented the integrated circuit. Who's making IC-based computers and TVs and radio? Taiwan, Korea, Japan, Malaysia. We're not making them here. Try and buy a TV set made in the United States. I dare you. Try to buy a computer that's actually made in the United States. I know there's a couple of manufacturers who say, yeah, we make them in the United States. They bring in the circuit boards, they bring in the case, and they assemble them in the United States. So how are you going to do that, Mr. Obama? Well, time will tell. We will see. But I'm telling you, the two Santa Clauses have worked. The Republicans in the late 70s, Jude Winiski, who invented supply-side economics, invented the word, the phrase, and Grover Norquist sat down with Newt Gingrich, and as Norquist writes, Newt Gingrich thought he had died and gone to heaven. What? You mean we can be the Santa Claus who gives out tax breaks and tax cuts, and we can be the Santa Claus who spends money? Yeah, all you have to do is bankrupt the government. And then David Stockman comes along. Remember Ronald Reagan's director of the Office of Management and Budget, former, you know, 35-year-old congressman, he was a young guy in his, congressman with no economic background whatsoever. And he says, this is the starve the beast theory. We're going to starve the beast of government of revenue, and we're going to throw it so far in debt that when the Democrats do come back into power, they won't be able to spend any money. And you are seeing that played out right now. The plan that Winiski and Norquist laid out in the late 70s that Ronald Reagan ran with, everybody looked at, even George Herbert Walker Bush initially looked at this plan and said, this is crazy. This is voodoo economics. This is going to bankrupt our country. This isn't the best thing for America. He changed his tune very quickly when Ronald Reagan picked him as vice president. And the Republicans have been hewing to this line ever since. And they have destroyed this country. And they have destroyed the economy of this country. And they have done it for purely political purposes and for a few million bucks in the pockets of their buddies and a few billion bucks in the pockets of their buddies. And now Barack Obama has to pick up the pieces, and they are going to go after him with a ferocity that you cannot imagine. Back in the 30s, when Franklin Roosevelt tried to do something like this, they called him a socialist. They called him a communist. There was a coup attempt. Some of the nation's largest bankers, the Morgans and the Bushes, got together and they tried to hire the most famous Smedley Butler, the most famous Marine general in American history, to lead a coup against Franklin Roosevelt. Butler blew the whistle, or we would have had a coup in 1935. I'm telling you, it's going to get ugly, and it's starting today. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Ray in Vancouver. Hey, Ray, what's up?
Tom. I've been listening to you, and I was thinking to myself, and I'm going, does not a senator, when they are in the Senate, they say that they are to pass legislation, do everything they can to protect the country? And if so, we have two wars. So we now have two wars that we've been going on, and it's wartime for the United States, and we have a political party that we have proof that has passed policies knowing that it was going to not help the United States, strengthen it, but tear it down. Can't that be considered treason and that party be held accountable? And as far as I'm concerned, I advocate sending all Republicans to Alaska where they love Palin so much.
Good plan, Ray.
Go there and succeed.
There you go. Good plan, Ray. It's a great one. I would not use the word treason. I think that hyperbole doesn't suit us well right now. I think that calling them anti-American is absolutely accurate. They do not believe in the ideals on which this country was founded. This country was founded by the children of the Enlightenment. Jefferson, Madison, Franklin, Washington, these guys believed in life. And you want the right to life, you have to have a national health care program, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They were the original. I mean, George Washington, I hope I shall ever see America as a more liberal nation, as a, at the forefront of liberality, was the exact quote. These guys proudly call themselves liberals. James in Hondo, Texas. Hey, James.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you today?
Just great, but I'll get better. What's up?
All right. Hey, I'm trying to find out if I got this straight. The Republicans are bad for spending a whole bunch and then tax cutting. And then Obama's plan is good for massive spending and tax cutting.
Yeah, it does seem like a bit of a non sequitur, doesn't it, James? Here's the thing.
It is, isn't it?
Well, yes and no. The Republicans' tax cuts were primarily targeted at millionaires and billionaires.
Well, that's not true, but okay.
Well, it actually is true. And therefore,
no, it's not.
Okay, so we're going to do this. I'll tell you, for example, in the state of Oregon right now, this is from the Oregon Center for Public Policy. They just published these statistics. In the state of Oregon, poorest families pay the largest percentage of their income in taxes. That's 9.9%, while the richest families pay the smallest share. That's 6%. For example, so anyhow, Bush lowers the tax rate. The maximum amount of money that you make, if you make your living sitting on your butt around the pool waiting for the dividend check to arrive in the mail or capital gains, the maximum income tax rate you can pay is 15%. That's the Bush tax cut. So the tax cuts that the Republicans have been promoting have been tax cuts that are designed to starve the Treasury of revenue and to massively increase the wealth of the very wealthiest. In the last 5 years, the 400 richest families in America, the Fortune 400 richest families, have gone from a combined net worth of $600 billion to $1.2 trillion. It's absolutely unprecedented. The last time we saw this kind of an explosion of wealth was in the late 1920s when Herbert Hoover and Coolidge were doing the exact same thing.
Okay,
now, as to the spending part,
Obama's in.
Pardon? Well, what Obama's talking about doing is cutting. Now, first of all, let me be on record here, James. I don't agree with Obama on the tax end of this. I don't think that cutting taxes is a structural way to solve the problem, although I will give him that maybe for a year it'll help somewhat. But history shows that when you cut taxes on working people, over time their wages go down because the employer
increases to the government.
Because the employers know that if somebody's willing to work for whatever they're willing to work for and you cut their taxes so they end up with more in their pocket, the employers can get away with cutting their wages and take them back to where they're netting out the exact same that they were before. And just look back over the last 20 years, James, you're probably old enough to remember this. Every time taxes went up, wages went up. When Clinton raised taxes, wages went up. Every time taxes on working people went down, Reagan's tax cuts and Bush's tax cuts, even though they were heavily skewed toward the rich, they did reduce taxes. You're right. On working people, wages went down. So I would submit to you that the solution is not to cut taxes. Maybe over the short term, what he's going to do is he's going to give all the working people $1,000. Great, they're going to spend some money. That's a short term stimulus.
Welfare, though. That's called welfare. If you
no, it's not.
That.
It's called then your tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires is welfare. Your 15% maximum tax rate for people on capital gains is welfare.
No, they're actually paying the income tax, and the people that you're talking about aren't paying income tax.
Well, I'm talking about people who are paying income tax. Well, if you want to talk about tax credit, you know, that's not welfare either. Those people are paying taxes. They're paying a higher percentage of their income in taxes. Most of it is payroll tax rather than income tax, and then sales taxes and property taxes. But they're paying a higher percentage of their income in taxes, I guarantee you, than is Bill Gates or than are any of the millionaires and billionaires in this country. And this is not rocket science, James. You can easily find it out. That's the tax side. On the spending side, the Republicans have been spending money on things like the Bridge to Nowhere, $1 trillion military budget, wars that are insane. We now have more than 700 military bases outside the United States. Only 10% of our defense budget is actually spent defending the United States of America. 90% of it is spent defending shipping lanes for oil and other countries. Tell me that makes sense. That's the Republican way. $3 trillion for Star Wars. That's crazy. Let's build some bridges.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
In Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
If you're tired of credit card debt with high rates and fees, if you're in over your head dealing with high monthly payments, there's powerful information that credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the power to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with low monthly payments you can afford. It's yours free by calling 1-800-600-1983. You don't have to declare bankruptcy. Credit Answers represents the highest standards in the industry. We've already helped thousands of people like you save millions of dollars. Just give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help you live better, debt-free. Call for this valuable free information at 1-800-600-1983. That's 1-800-600-1983. 1-800-600-1983.
Ed Schultz.
Is this the man?
No, this is the man talking to the man. Ed Schultz, what's going on?
Noon to 3.
Barack Obama with us. I know you voted for the farm bill. Can you speak to the folks in the heartland on ag and energy?
I come from the heartland, and I come from an agricultural state. My record goes back 10 years.
The Ed Schultz Show.
What I'm most concerned about are family farmers and family ranchers.
Noon to 3.
We've got to make sure that they're getting help, not just big agribusiness.
AM 620 KPOJ. Online at 620kpoj.com.
I'm here to tell you that Geico.com is easy to use. I bet you already knew that. A website that's convenient and fast. Well, really, had no idea. Of course it's fast and easy. Now, allow me to go off script and tell you why Geico.com is so great. First, you can get a free rate quote right then and there. You can update your policy, make a payment, even report and track a claim. There's the news. There's the big aha. Sorry, just had to get it off my chest.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I'm Tom Dwyer. I usually give you our number, 230-2300. And now I'm giving you another important number, 350. Why 350? We know too much carbon dioxide contributes to global climate change. And now we know how much is too much. The best science tells us that 350 parts per million carbon dioxide is the red line for humans on Earth. The higher over 350 we go, the less likely it is that we'll ever bring climate change under control. Right now, we're at 387. You can do something. Go to tomdwyer.com and click the link to 350.org and learn about the global movement to bring us back down below 350. Then join our carbon neutral program and offset your carbon emissions now. Sign up using the promo code KPOJ, save 50% on membership, your car will be carbon neutral, and we'll give you $350 worth of discounts. Now that's a great way to help your car, your wallet, and your planet. Tom Dwyer Automotive Services, keeping your vehicle safe, breakdown free, and operating at their best. 503-230-2300. And now, more importantly, 350.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show. January is National Eye Care Month, a time when many of us use our new health insurance plans to get our eyes checked. Sadly, millions of people around the world don't have this luxury. This month, stop by Eyes on Broadway and donate your old glasses, which will be redistributed when Dr. Tom Barreto travels to Peru this March to perform eye exams for those less fortunate. A great way to start out the new year. Donate your old glasses at 2300 Northeast Broadway or learn more at eyesonbroadway.com.
I'm sorry, sir, but it appears as though your credit card has been declined.
Did everyone hear that? This person right here, credit card declined. If we can please have an awkward silence.
Oh, I'm with a date here. Look, so I'm late on a few payments. I'll make it up next month. Promise.
He promises to pay it all back next month. Can we have an aww?
Putting more on your card than you can afford to spend can lead to even bigger problems, like public humiliation. Don't let your credit put you in a bad place. Go to controlyourcredit.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Treasury and the Ad Council.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I'm Joe the plumber, and I may be dumber than this pipe wrench that I always keep with me.
Oh, Joe the Plumber's song.
I never met you, but John, I would bet you it's a good thing they don't put me on TV, 'cause I'd ask you, ain't it tax and spending to go on with this war we got into without my ever knowing quite what for?
Actually, it's not tax and spend, it's borrow and spend.
Threaten you and didn't $3 trillion later, and just what would winning be?
Welcome back. 9.5 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you, the place where progressives come to party.
You know it's nice when the postman has a letter in his sack for you. Because the mail must go through.
Well, we got a variety of emails and posts and posts on our blog, on our homepage at TomHartman.com, and on our blog over at AirAmerica.com. And just a couple interesting ones. Let's see. Drunken sailors 2 days in a row. Yeah, very hilarious. Okay. You know, what can I say? Here's another one. We got one. Do you have the pigeon one, Sean? I've lost the piece of paper. Anyhow, somebody sent us a photo of a hawk taking out a pigeon and said, looks to me like this is a real hawk and a real pigeon, therefore the pigeons can't be robots. No, that's just how good they are. Those aliens from the planet Xenu paint those robots to look so much like real birds that they even fool hawks. And finally, Richard sends a note. He says, Tom, dear Mr. Hartman, actually, that's, I guess, my father. Anyhow, he says, I listen to you every day. You are brilliant. Why do you not contact someone in government and inform them of the history you reveal on your show and educate them? I realize these are ignorant politicians who think they know everything. However, Republicans have destroyed this country. Obama needs a lot of help. Your lessons are valuable. Thank you, Richard. Richard, thank you very much for your kind words. And let me tell you, it's your responsibility now. Sorry to pass the buck, but my job is to do a talk radio show. I tell Bernie what I think, but there's a couple of politicians I know that I talk with from time to time. But by and large, my job, the way I see it, in the books that I've written and in doing this show, is to share what I know with you, so that you, the somewhere between 2 and 4 million people who listen to this show, depending on whose numbers you're using, we having the most listened to progressive talk radio show in all of America, you who are listening to this show, go out and educate the politicians. And actually the way to do it isn't so much, okay, you call up a politician and educate them, although I'm all in favor of that. It's that you tell 10 friends. And ask those 10 friends to tell 10 friends. And by the time we've gone down, what, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps on that, everybody in America has figured it out. And this is what conservatives have been doing for 20 years with conservative talk radio. You know, Limbaugh doesn't call up the right-wing politicians and say, hey, here's a meme for you. No, he puts it out on the air, and it spreads around. And that's what I'm doing. I'm putting this out on the air, and it is spreading around, hopefully. And so, anyhow, Dave in Port Clinton, Ohio. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Hi, Tom.
Hey.
You and I are on the same page. I've always thought that supply side was delusional, but when I hear the supply siders on the radio, they always cite what they call like mathematical proof. They'll go back to Kennedy and they'll say when rates went down, the revenues came flooding in, and I wonder how you refute their examples.
Oh, it's very simple. First of all, if you just simply look at the historical record year by year, and we've done this on this show, although it makes for kind of boring radio where you say, okay, 1961, 1962, 1962. Anyhow, you look at the historical record, what you see is that tax revenues always go up. You know, other than the Great Depression, every single year tax revenues have gone up, and GDP has gone up. It's the nature of inflation, and it's the nature of a growing economy that is adding 1.5 million people every year, or every month rather, to its population. They say, hey, look at this, we cut taxes and revenue went up. Well, of course the revenue went up. But when you increase taxes, revenue also goes up, and it goes up more. They just fail to mention that. They consistently fail to mention that, number one. Number two, they love to quote John Kennedy. Kennedy didn't actually raise taxes. He died before he had a chance to do that. It was Lyndon Johnson who did it in 64. And Kennedy proposed, and I've played that audio on this program many, many times, not going to do it again right now, but many times in the debates with Richard Nixon, Kennedy said that he wanted to increase taxes on the wealthy, that he was one of the wealthy. I mean, he didn't say it in these words, but maybe I should play the audio a little later on in the program. But he said basically that there are all these loopholes, and nobody is paying that 91% tax rate. And so what he wanted to do was close the loopholes, reduce the top rate to 74%, close the loopholes. And he said, and here I am giving you a verbatim quote, this will increase revenue. In other words, they're going to increase taxes. And what Lyndon Johnson did in 64 when he did that was he actually increased taxes on the most wealthy in the United States. And, yeah, it led to an increase in revenues. But when Reagan cut taxes in 82, if you look at the arc of revenue coming into the government, tax revenue, it actually dipped. It didn't drop into negative, but it dipped. And we have been in debt ever since. And a more important number to look at than tax revenues or even GDP is the national debt. And every time these guys cut taxes, it drives up the national debt, which is their goal, by the way. So that's, Dave, there's your answer. And again, you go back and you look at the numbers, and they're irrefutable. These guys, they just lie. I mean, they just plain old flat-out lie. They lay this stuff out because it's the only way they can do it. It's just like the great lie that, liberals hate America. How many times have you heard that? George Washington was a liberal. Thomas Jefferson was a liberal. Abraham Lincoln, at that time, for a brief 20-year period, the Republican Party, when it was first founded in Flint, Michigan in 1856 through about 1866, 1867, well, arguably 1877, was a reform party. These guys were liberals. The liberals are the ones who built America. I defy you to find any good dimension of American life. The 5-day work week, the 40-hour work week, Social Security, vacation, paid vacations, clean food, safe drugs, workman's compensation, unemployment benefit. I defy you to find one benefit that the Republicans have brought us or the conservatives have brought us. They don't exist.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to the second hour of the most widely listened to progressive talk radio show in the world. Tom Hartman here with you. Our quick cheat sheet from the Daily Beast. The New Deal. Obama introduces a rescue plan. We've been playing clips of that and discussing it with you over the last hour. We'll get back to that in a bit. Terrorists are firing rockets from Lebanon. Hezbollah is now getting into the act. India, it's their turn to be rocked by a swindler. Israel is sending a peace envoy to Egypt. This might be some very good news. The EU is saying to Putin, hey, you cut off our gas. We want it back. We paid for it. Teen birth rates are rising all over the United States. Yes, abstinence-only education doesn't work. Want to know for sure how and why? Just ask Bristol Palin. Can Michelle save American fashion? Chris Matthews, by the way, is not going to run for the United States Senate. And the Daily Beast, a great news source, and the cheat sheet, the must-reads from all over, a great summary brought to you by Tina Brown. Tina Brown, the former editor-in-chief of Vanity Fair, the former editor of The New Yorker, used to have a super TV show. I loved it, Topic A with Tina Brown. Currently co-founder and editor-in-chief of TheDailyBeast.com or DailyBeast.com. Tina Brown, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for asking me.
You're doing a great job with this, and
thank you. We're getting so much buzz. I'm so pleased.
Yeah, well, the thing that I like about it is it doesn't take an hour and a half to load the thing. It's tight, it's clean, it's there are some other websites out there that are just so dense with particularly with advertising that it's just they're a pain to get around. And you have done a really great job of this. I suspect that there are people, particularly as the economy slides into the toilet, there are people all over the United States who are saying, I'd like to start something on the Internet, or I'd like to do, maybe in some particular area, a science blog or, a technical or whatever. What were the rules maybe that's the wrong word, but, you know, what were the marching orders that you came up with, the vision that you put together that made this happen?
Well, the main vision that I wanted to put together was clarity and focus. It seems to me that we're all overwhelmed with stuff that's coming at us everywhere. And so my idea was, let me give people my pick of the 10 stories every day that I think are the most interesting, provocative, newsy, and put them out in a very clear way with a lot of attitude, and then give people a summary of them, and they can link to them if they want. And then also give them 10 other stories that I commission every day to sort of add the fun and the mix and the celebrities and the commentary and the politics and the things that I think are going to make news. So it's a very, very clean and very simple combination. It's really 10 things that from the headlines that I think are interesting, and 10 other things that I've assigned that I think are just as interesting but which come out of my head.
Yeah, it works. We're talking with Tina Brown, thedailybeast.com, her new project, product, reinvention, new life, new reincarnation. I don't know what you call it. New job, I guess.
It's amazing fun. I mean, what I love about it, quite honestly, is I can really respond quickly. And I've got such a fabulous sort of cast of characters that I've worked with over the years with my different magazines at Vanity Fair, The New Yorker, all the writers that I know and so on, that I've always known so many different kinds of people. And now when anything happens, I can just call one and say, hey, get me a piece fast. For instance, you know, when Bernie Madoff, you know, ruined everybody with this terrible swindle that he's done, I knew somebody who used to be an editor who had lost all her savings completely, and I was able to call her. We were the very first publication anywhere to actually get a victim to write about what it was like to lose all your money.
Yeah, you've done a great job. TheDailyBeast.com is the website. I liked your editorial. It echoed one that I wrote a while back for Common Dreams, and that ended up getting scattered all over the web, about Caroline Kennedy.
Right.
Basically, you talk about how Katharine Graham, for example, when she was thrust into the spotlight by the death of her husband, the woman who ran the Washington Post, owned the Washington Post, that she rose to the task, and that Caroline Kennedy may well do the same. In fact, she's probably already initiated that process by participating with the Obama campaign. I agree. I absolutely agree. You want to amplify on that?
Yes, well, what has been interesting about watching Caroline is that, you know, in some ways, I think a lot of her stumbles have been about the fact that Caroline is much more of her mother's side of the family than her father's. I mean, she's much more of a Bouvier, which is what Jackie's maiden name was,
right,
than she is a Kennedy. You know, she's really had a very sheltered, cloistered social life, and she's never really been in the cut and thrust of politics. And my theory really is that for her, as the kind of carrier of the great Kennedy legacy, a lot of her life has been a burden. I mean, she's had to kind of go to the openings of libraries, and she's had to, you know, tend this very sad and tragic legacy, and she's had to kind of have people always trying to meet her mother, and, you know, continually social climbers always wanting to know her. And it's not been a lot of fun, frankly, to be Caroline Kennedy. Most of her life has been about hiding. And it was when she really connected with Obama that she began to experience for the very first time the sort of red-blooded real world of politics, such as her father and her uncle had lived all their life in. And she finally got the political bug kind of quite late, and it's really going to, I think, transform her. And I actually do think that although she hasn't had a good entry, she could wind up being someone who could really be electrified by this whole process.
I agree, and I'd love to see her in that position. Now, the right-wing websites, you know, have dominated the role of assignment editor. I guess, you know, the cliche in New York for a long time was that Matt Drudge is everybody's assignment editor in the television news business. And it seems to me that with your website, Tina Brown, thedailybeast.com, thedailybeast.com, with Arianna Huffington's Huffington Post, with Common Dreams, with Op-Ed News, BuzzFlash, there's a bunch of them out there, that the popularity of the progressive sites has now broadly surpassed the conservative sites, the CNS News and some of the others. To what extent do you feel on the one hand, an obligation or responsibility, on the other hand, an opportunity to shape the dialogue that's happening in America right now?
Well, you know, one of the things that I feel very passionately about with the Daily Beast is that we are kind of bipartisan. Actually, the Daily Beast really isn't. I don't see everything through a liberal prism at all. I mean, I figure that, you know, that the exciting thing for the Daily Beast is to have a dialogue, you know, an argument between two different points of view, so that you never quite know what you're going to see on the site. It doesn't just toe any kind of party line, which frankly is boring to me. I mean, and I think that in the age of Obama, when he is trying to sort of carve a sort of a middle way, if you like, between you know, all the warring parties and produce something effective for America, it's much healthier to have, you know, a noisy dinner table where people are arguing in a healthy way, but in a civilized and fun way, rather than in a kind of negative and narrow and mean way. You know, our side is not a mean side. It's a fun side. It's a witty side. And it's about, you know, bringing people together, and then they can sit and argue over dinner if they want, but they're still having dinner.
Yeah, we do the same thing with this program. 9 out of 10, or probably more, 7 out of 10 of my guests are actually conservatives with whom I'm debating. And,
yeah.
And you know, my goal is to model how to have a debate without having blood on the floor for my listeners, and also to use those debates to throw into stark relief the topics and issues of the day. And
yeah.
And I just think that that's a very, very important thing. We're talking with Tina Brown, the dailybeast.com, her website. And Tina, what in your opinion are the top news stories right now? Obviously Obama and the economy.
Well, obviously, you know, the war on Gaza is absolutely huge. I mean, I think the ongoing Blagojevich story is pretty hysterical even now. I mean, the fact that the Democrats have suddenly reversed themselves and said, oh, no, we'd be quite happy to see Ronald Burris and work with the guy if we have to is extraordinary turn.
Harry Reid put his foot in his mouth in the beginning of that thing.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, that story really makes me laugh because everybody comes out of it, frankly, you know, so kind of cowardly all around, frankly.
Yeah.
And I think the Caroline Kennedy story is of ongoing great interest to people. But, of course, the major story, in a way, the only story is the economy. You know, that is really the only story that people are exercised about in the deep sense of the word. So, you know, losing your money, going down, figuring out how to survive, you know, refusing to be wiped out, those are the stories of the day. And we do a huge amount of those stories on the Daily Beast about reinvention, survival, or, you know, how life seems now after this kind of financial shockwave that's hit everybody.
We have a little less than a minute left. We're talking with Tina Brown, thedailybeast.com. Barack Obama suggesting that we can bring jobs back to the United States, we can make things here. Is he announcing a change in trade policy? Do you think this is going to work?
I sort of think it has to work. I mean, I don't think there's any discussion about can it at this point. I think everybody's
yeah.
I think whatever he suggests, frankly, people are going to just want to get on board with it and try to make it work because no one else has got any ideas. You know, it's as if we just have to now hope and work and commit to bringing America back. And whatever it takes, I think people are going to have to do it. In that sense, I think it's kind of an exhilarating and rather healthy time because I think everywhere we're having to look at our own businesses, the way we do things and so on, and say, you know what, there's no time to delay. We have to be as creative and as aggressive as we can be or we're not going to be in business.
Well said. Tina Brown, thedailybeast.com. Check it out. Tina, thank you so much for being
thank
with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Great
Bye.
Talking with you. 16 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Yeehaw is not a foreign policy. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money. It's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
Didn't he look like he's used to having shoes thrown at him? I mean, seriously, didn't the president look completely comfortable with that shoe coming at his head?
Randy Rhodes.
He uses, like, his best cheerleader skills, and he's bobbing and weaving. And he stood there just like on 9/11 and stared into the crowd.
You're Randy Rhodes Show.
You're at a podium, you dimwit. Get down.
3 to 6.
And in between shoes, he had that same dimwitted look on his face that he had on 9/11 when he was sitting there reading my Petco.
On AM 620 KPOJ. Here's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ.
KPOJ and WorkSource Oregon are teaming up for the 2009 Career Fair Wednesday, January 14th from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the Lloyd Center Mall. This is a great opportunity to hook up with those hiring in the greater Portland area or find the education you need to advance your career. Meet employers and educators from around the state all in one place January 14th at Lloyd Center Mall. KPOJ in Clearwater invite you to join us at the Crystal Ballroom Tuesday, January 20th for the People's Inaugural Ball, a benefit for the Oregon Food Bank. The ball is free with a ticket from KPOJ and a suggested donation of 2 cans of food. Entertainment and a silent auction are a couple of fun things to expect. Keep listening to KPOJ for complete details on how to win your tickets to this 21 and over only event. Stop by EcoFloors, located on 47th and Southeast Milwaukee Avenue. Pick up a KPOJ bumper sticker and find out about special discounts just for being a KPOJ listener.
And that's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station.
And now for the bonus round. John's uncle's cousin's mother's friend is what relation to John?
Curmudgeon.
Correct. How many ounces are in an anagram?
8.26.
Correct. How much do Netflix members pay in late fees?
Nothing!
Correct! Netflix. Choose your movies online and have DVDs delivered in about one business day. No late fees ever. Start your free trial today. Netflix.
See terms of use.
Does Emergen-C, the fizzy, energizing, immune-boosting vitamin C drink mix, really make you feel good? Adam from Seattle writes,
Dear Emergen-C, I hate you. Why? Because now I see that you are in a nefarious conspiracy to stop me from using up all my sick days. I can't walk around all full of bouncy bounce one day and then not show up the next. Now, can I? Clearly, you are in cahoots with my manager.
Okay, Adam, glad it's working for you. Emergency. Feel the good.
Brought to you by Orbitz.com. Worried about the price of your flight dropping after you book? Don't be. Only Orbitz has price assurance, where if another customer books the same flight as you for less, we'll automatically send you a check for the difference. Book at Orbitz.com and never overpay.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
My desktop is the best top, not the less bot. Check my desk, bro, killer machine. That's a G5, clean and white, 250 gigabyte, gig of RAM, killer man, 20-inch screen. Wanna burn a disc? How about a DVD? Wirelessly, check my POP. 1-6-6-2-4-6-7. If there's ever a problem, I call my tech man Devin. Yo, Devin, man, what you doing tonight? Come over to my crib, disc permissions ain't right. Check out the back of my CPU. I got more ports than a wine store do. Let's talk mouse.
22 minutes past the hour, and I don't believe this. I gotta tell you this story. This is incredible. The wildfires whipping the areas north of Boulder, Colorado, have forced the evacuation of 11,500 residents. An emergency evacuation, because a disaster is on its way. The federal government comes in, and FEMA's paying for 75% of it. They are successfully emergency evacuating Brownie. Yes. Heck of a job, Brownie. Michael Brown was rescued yesterday. Should he have been? I'll just leave the question at that. Heck of a job, Brownie. Steven in Miami, Florida. Hey, Steven, what's on your mind today?
Oh, well, the reason I'm calling, a very timely subject. I wanted to tell you about the time I spoke to Henry Fonda in person. Mm-hmm. At a CED convention in Santa Monica, California. But before I do that, I wanted first to mention I came up with an idea that wouldn't cost anything, that would educate the nation's youth and a lot of the adults also about the the Great Depression. A lot of people talk about it, but they really don't know that much about it because a lot of people have not seen, to this very day, the movie The Grapes of Wrath.
Right.
Now, getting back to my...
Or read the book.
Well, but when? And a lot of people haven't done that.
Right, I said a lot of people have not seen the movie, and a lot of people have not read the book. And the book is
right,
so brilliantly written, it's frankly,
movie,
I liked it better than the movie.
The movie brings things to life. Matter of fact,
yeah,
they should do a revision of that movie to bring it up to date in black and white. But before I even get into that, I wanted to tell you about the time I spoke to Henry Fonda in person.
Mm-hmm.
He was at a, you know what CED is, or was? You ever hear of it?
No,
an organization in California back in the late 70s. I lived out there 3 years in the L.A. area.
Steve, what did Henry Fonda say?
What?
What did Henry Fonda say that you wanted to
tell
us about?
Well, I asked him, why don't they show The Grapes of Wrath on regular broadcast television?
Uh-huh.
And he was under the impression they did. And I said to him, Mr. Fonda, it's a great movie, but they should show it on television more often. And I'll be honest with you, Tom, I haven't seen that movie broadcast on television in Florida since 66 or in California.
No, Steven, you're absolutely right. And the Grapes of, you know, John Steinbeck and others. I mean, there's just, you know, Cannery Row is another one. It was my BuzzFlash book of the month about a year ago for BuzzFlash.com. You know, I write a book review for them every month because they support their website by selling books. And I'm a big fan of books, being the author of 21 books. And you know, Cannery Row is another great insight. It's just a marvelous story about Monterey, California during the Great Depression. So, yeah, I agree with you. And your point that the Grapes of Wrath should be shown in high schools, I would go for that totally. Jim in Scappoose, Oregon. Hey, Jim, what's up? Jim?
Asking for Jim?
You're on the air, Jim.
Okay. As a biology student at PSU, we did a study on pigeons, and we discovered that pigeons don't land in trees.
Oh, that's interesting.
They only
hang around buildings where there are people that need to be spied upon, right?
Yeah, just in buildings. And they also did most of their little sex dances on the windows. Maybe they're doing sex education for the students. I don't know.
So this proves that pigeons are not the product of a biological evolutionary process. They are spies from the planet Xenu.
Yeah,
okay. Jim, thanks a lot for that. I appreciate it. William in Dallas, Texas. I'm telling you, you never see dead pigeons. And wherever you see, you know, meetings of important folks or world-changing events, there are the pigeons. They are the spies. Jim in Dallas, Texas. Hey, what's up?
Hello.
Hi. I'm sorry. I've lost your name off the call screen software, but I know you're in Dallas.
I'm Bill.
Bill. Thank you, Bill. I'm sorry. Go ahead. We got a minute here.
I just wanted to comment on some of the things you talked about last hour, and I've been mulling it over for a long time. I am a substance abuse counselor, and I have looked at criminal addictive behavior and the definition of criminal addictive behavior. And when I look at the people who have been making these laws since you talked about the start back during the Reagan era and maybe before, they all have criminal addictive behavior traits.
Would you, Bill, say that the phrase drunk with power is apropos?
Well, I don't think drunk with power. I think that's too simplified.
Yeah.
They are addicted to money, are addicted to the fact that they want it now and they want it how they want it and they want it when they want it. They are generally people who have a low self-image of themselves, even though they can put their $3,000 Brooks Brothers handmade suits on. You scratch the surface and there's not much there.
Yeah, you're right, Bill. And that's one of the ways these guys are like in massive compensation all the time. Excellent point. Thank you very much for the call. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. TomHartmann.com for our live free chat room, has been for all 6 years we've been doing these shows, and for our live free video stream, AirAmerica.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartmann Program. Call 866-303-2270.
What would Hartmann do? Tom Hartmann, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I want to thank you for the love that you give me and the song that you put in my sky. You don't know how much you lifted me up, but I feel so alive. Well, thank you for the love that you give me and the song that you put in my sky. You don't know how much you lifted me up.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Sean Taylor has done, Sean just did a great job of cutting up some of this audio. Barack Obama.
The approach to our problems, and it is the same approach.
Let's start this over again here.
We have already tried the wait-and-see approach to our problems, and it is the same approach that helped lead us to this day of reckoning. And that is why the time has come to build a 21st century economy in which hard work and responsibility are once again rewarded.
Yes, instead of just, you know, moving money around on Wall Street. Yeah, it sounds like a great plan. Barack Obama speaking this morning. Here's the problem. The Republicans are going to do, and they already are, and you can see this on their websites all over the place, all the right-wing websites and the hard right. They're going to do everything they can to blow this up. Why? Not because of their ideology. Their ideology has... Yeah, you know, these guys have borrowed $10 trillion and spent it in some of the most wasteful and mind-boggling ways possible with some secondary stimulating effect to the economy and tried to take the credit for that during the Reagan, Bush, and Bush years. No, it's not about ideology. They're going to try and blow this up because they're afraid Obama will succeed. That is the last thing the Republicans want. Just like when Franklin Roosevelt succeeded, it set up a 40 years, not of Democratic rule. I mean, you had Dwight Eisenhower, who was a Republican as president, but he was a Republican that the conservatives hated because he thought a 91% top income tax rate was a good idea. He thought Social Security was important. You know, he even made the comment to his brother David. He said, you know, there's a few crazies out there in the Republican Party, mostly Texas oil men, who think that that Social Security should be privatized. Their numbers are few. And I don't remember the exact quote, but words to the effect of, if they ever get control of the Republican Party, we're screwed. And that's exactly what happened. Barack Obama this morning.
That's why I'm calling on all Americans, Democrats and Republicans and independents, to put good ideas ahead of the old ideological battles. A sense of common purpose above the same narrow partisanship. And insist that the first question each of us asks isn't what's good for me, but what's good for the country my children will inherit. More than any program or policy, it is this spirit that will enable us to confront these challenges with the same spirit that has led previous generations to face down war and depression and fear itself.
You know, it worked during the primary to a large extent over Mark Penn's objections, but it worked during the primary, carrying the high road, and Hillary Clinton and his other Democratic opponents by and large took the high road. And during the election, even though Sarah Palin took the low road and implied that Barack Obama was somehow different and a Muslim and a terrorist and doesn't think like the rest of America and all these kinds of slimy lies, it still worked, taking the high road. Will it work with the hard right ideologues in Congress? And perhaps more importantly, will it work with the political strategists who have taken over the Republican Party since the late 1970s with their two Santa Clauses strategy? We'll see. Sid in Detroit, listening on WDTW. Hey, Sid, what's up? Sid, you're on the air. Sid is not there. Jason in Palm Beach, Florida. Hey, Jason, listening on WINS. What's up?
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Just great. What's on your mind?
Well, I just kind of had a little bit of a rant of my own. It's about I don't think that the financial institutions failing and the stock market really had anything to do with it. Now, I was wondering, is it possible, do you believe the financial sector and the bailout I think the deregulation of subprime lending that allowed a lot of people to make huge sums of money and selling their toxic junk on the market and then abandoning it for such things as treasury bonds or gold was paid for by the middle-class American's 401k.
Well, to some extent, yeah. And all that 401k money there in the market was, you know, a huge, like Scrooge McDuck and his money bin, you know. But
yeah.
But the larger issue, well, go ahead and make your point.
Yeah, well, the other thing was, like, when I started my 401k, I could day trade.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we were at the top of the bubble the 2 years ago, give or take, they cut that out. And I guarantee you that at the same time, the huge brokerage firms, hedge funds, and were getting their clients out of the market and moving them into bonds or gold, that's why the market slowly declined in late 2007 into early 2008, and the uber rich had realized that they'd milked the middle class for all they were worth credit wise.
Yeah.
And they needed to
they took the money and ran
their safety net.
Yeah, exactly. They took the money and ran, and they got the tax breaks and all that kind of thing. But and Jason, thank you for raising this. The larger issue, I think, is one that the Republican Kevin Phillips, who back in the, as I recall, the late 60s, wrote The Coming Republican Majority, as I recall was the title of his book, in which, maybe it was in the 70s, in which he predicted basically what happened in the 80s. And Kevin Phillips has written some brilliant books, and he wrote a book. My recollection is the title is Bad Money, but I may be wrong. But he wrote a book on finance. We had Kevin Phillips on the show about this book. This was 3-4 years ago. And he pointed out that at that time, he was raising alarm bells. And he was pointing out that these things were coming, the housing bubble crash, the stock market crash, all these things, but that they were symptoms of a larger problem. And that larger problem was that as a policy, America, as a way of deciding how we're going to be and who we're going to be and what we're all about, we had abandoned the idea of creating value by manufacturing and instead embraced the idea of getting rich by moving money around. The financial services sector 30, 40 years ago was under 10% of the total amount of money moving around that was being created, the profits that were being created, things in the market, things in the stock market, for example, the bank stocks and things like that. It was well under 10%. I'm sorry, I don't have the numbers right at my fingertips right now, and it's been a few years since Kevin Phillips was on this show and I read his book. But my recollection is it was like 7% or something. It was under 10%. And at the time he wrote his book, the contribution to profits, as it were, to revenues in the American economy from the financial services sector, which does not manufacture any value, was well over 20%. My recollection was it was 28%. I've read recently, we had a Financial Times article here, about 2-3 months ago that I was sharing with you that was talking about the situation in Great Britain where it had hit almost 30%. It might be in that neighborhood here in the United States, or it might have been before the crash. And this is a country whose ability to create wealth has been hollowed out. The reality is that the only way to generate wealth is through manufacturing. Yeah, you can move money around with a service economy. Do you want fries with that? Arguably, McDonald's is manufacturing. They're manufacturing hamburgers. I mean, there is manufacturing going on there. But the true service sector, banking, for example, brokerage firms, these service sectors, they do not generate real wealth. Real wealth is when you take $5 worth of iron ore and convert it into a $1,000 car door. It's when you take 50 cents worth of raw cotton and convert it into a $500 men's suit. That's manufacturing. That's the creation of real wealth. And banking does not create wealth. It creates money. It does not create wealth. And when in the 1980s, under Reagan, we began changing our trade policies in the United States, and some of this actually goes back to the late 70s and Carter, but Reagan was the guy who put it on steroids, and to the extent that Carter did it, he did it because he was listening to Milton Friedman and the Chicago School guys, all these conservative economists. To the extent that we started moving away from a trade policy based on having a national manufacturing policy, and instead went to, let's make money however we can make money. And if HP wants to manufacture their printers in China, so what? As long as they're profitable, that's all that matters. It doesn't count if we manufacture things in the United States and have wealth here. It doesn't count if we have good manufacturing jobs here. As long as HP is making money, and just not specifically to pick on them, you know, fill in the blank with any name, any computer manufacturer, any television manufacturer, any radio manufacturer, any clothing manufacturer, any shoe manufacturer, any fill-in-the-blank manufacturer. It doesn't much matter, the conservatives said. And a lot of Democrats bought into this, by the way. Bill Clinton was one of the biggest ones who bought into it. Robert Rubin bought into it and was generously rewarded for it. Bill Clinton was generously rewarded for it. And you know, maybe with the best of intentions, although I don't understand how Clinton and Bush could have shared the stage with Ross Perot with his charts and graphs and real numbers and not understood that what he was saying was true. Because what we are seeing right now is the absolute reality that Ross Perot was predicting. That crazy old coot with the big ears, he was right. When he said, if you do not protect manufacturing in the United States, you are going to lose it. And you can go back to James Madison in 1791, his report on manufacturers. You can Google it. I wrote an op-ed for it for Common Dreams that's spread all over the web that summarizes his 11-point plan for building manufacturers in the United States. They used to call it manufacturers. Now we call it manufacturing industry. And it worked. And Reagan took it apart, and Clinton helped.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hey, it's Tom Hartman. Guys, I know how easy it is to get wrapped up in everyday life. You just flat out ignore your health. I hate to point out the obvious, but sometimes we need to be reminded that without our health, life as we know it becomes extremely difficult. Let me take a few seconds to talk about prostate health and how this small gland can lead to big problems if you ignore it. The classic signs of an unhealthy prostate include the following: difficulty urinating, frequent night bathroom trips, and even sexual dysfunction. Unfortunately, every man will have some sort of prostate-related health issue if he lives long enough. And we all should, right? You should visit your doctor for regular checkups and take Beta Prostate to support proper prostate function. Ignoring your prostate will not make your problems go away. Beta Prostate provides effective, all-natural support. Call and order Beta Prostate risk-free today. Dial 1-800-954-0803. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Dial 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
This is a change in the definition of what America is.
Rachel Maddow.
We've long had a very, 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 very diverse country. We just have been very resistant to the idea that our government ought to look as diverse as our country.
That has now changed.
But it is also a big day for the Democratic Party, and it is a very big day for the Republican Party.
Rachel Maddow.
Which now has no obvious leader, no clear direction.
Evening, 6 to 8.
No clear guiding ideology, either economically or in terms of foreign policy.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
Back to programming in a minute, but first, listen to this. Since the New York Mint is releasing to the public classic U.S. gold coins, there's a number you can call for free historical information and a free DVD. But first, it says that during the Great Depression, people were greedy for gold coins because no one wanted to face economic turbulence without the security of gold. The government finally took them out of circulation, and a government meltdown was ordered. That's why most of us have never even seen a classic U.S. gold coin. But recently, a stash was discovered in Europe. Gleaming U.S. gold coins minted between 1866 and 1933, all uncirculated. It says the New York Mint is releasing them to the public on a first-come, first-served basis when you call, here it is, 1-800-500-8257. Wouldn't that be amazing to hold U.S. history? Okay, if you want that free historical information and the free collector's DVD, the number to call is 1-800-500-8257. 1-800-500-8257.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. True confession. I'm hungry. I can't stop thinking about the healthy fish and chips, classic or spicy Baja fish taco platters, crisp salads, and Dana's homemade soups at the Hawthorne Fish House and the Corbett Fish House. Salmon, halibut, catfish, or cod, it's all delicious. If you want a taste of the Midwest, try the perch, walleye, or even the fried cheese curds. They make a mean, spicy black bean garden burger as well.
Hawthorne Fish House Southeast, and Corbett Fish House Southwest.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to pack the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Truth in Broadcasting, it's the Tom Hartman program here with you, 9 minutes before the hour, 866-303-2270 is our telephone number, and Larry in Hollywood, California, listening on K-Talk. Hey, Larry, what's on your mind today?
I would like, Tom, you to admit to the listeners that this whole Bernard Madoff thing, as well as this whole economy, is a virtual pyramid scheme, just like the political arena is in this country.
You're absolutely right, Larry.
Well, you did not admit to that one caller yesterday, the day before, that somebody else, some other action was a Ponzi scheme. You just made a definition of it. But the thing is that the tip of the iceberg with all of our 401ks is that Bernard Madoff is not the only one.
No, he's doing the same thing. There is a difference. And Larry, the point that I was making, if I'm remembering the same call that you are, is that if you take a mortgage, you know, even a good mortgage, but let's say you take a $100,000 mortgage, and you sell insurance on it that it won't fail, in other words, a credit default swap, and then you sell a bet that the credit default swap won't fail, and then you sell a bet that the bet on the credit default swap won't fail. These are all called derivatives. And then you sell a bet on the bet on the bet, and you do this 20 or 30 times, you now have as much as $1 million, maybe $5 or $10 million in play against that original $100,000 mortgage. Now that, in my mind and yours, is a Ponzi scheme, right?
It is speculation.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you. The point that I was
creating wealth is important for the financial market. Creating democracy is important for the political market. And we are political people, and we've been shut down with either fear or with diversions like the Lewinsky or Blagojevich scandal, or things like people just being told not to be political animals, like this KTLK station suggests to its listeners, or the listeners here in Los Angeles. We are political animals.
Larry, I'm sorry. I don't know what you're talking about with regard to your station, and we don't get into that. But the point is, the whole derivatives thing is a Ponzi scheme, arguably. And that was the point the caller was making. And I guess I was being super wonky by saying, no, it's not, because to be a true Ponzi scheme, there's no little kernel of value at the center of it. But you're right. We have allowed our economic system to turn into essentially a Ponzi scheme, because the kernel of economic value that is at the core. I mean, we have a thousand trillion dollars worth of derivatives out there in the marketplace, according to the Bank of International Settlements. Ellen Brown is the expert on this. Webofdebt.com is her website.
quadrillion, $1,000 trillion worth of these derivatives out there. And at the core of them cannot be more than a few trillion dollars worth of actual assets, because the entire gross domestic product of the entire planet is under $70 trillion. So how can you have $1,000 trillion worth of derivatives out there? And that's what is blowing up and melting down. That's one of the problems that we have. Rob in Long Island. Hey, Rob.
Hi, Tom. How are you? Wanted to talk to you real quick about something, because I'm listening to Keith Olbermann last night, and I'm realizing that we've traversed from the sublime to the ridiculous vis-a-vis the porn industry going asking Congress for a bailout.
Yeah, we did that as a crazy alert yesterday. My old friend Larry Flint and the guy who does Girls Gone Wild they're doing it tongue in cheek, you know.
Yeah, I agree, but it made me realize something that I guess had kind of flown under the radar for me for a while, which was whatever happened to bankruptcy. And let me explain what I mean for just a second. As far as the auto industry goes, they never went saying, "Hey, just give us money, we'll do what we want, and we'll be fine with it." They were asking for a loan. But the banks, and something else that annoys me about the fact is that the CEOs of the banks never went to Congress themselves. Rather, they sent their representatives, the Secretary of the Treasury and the Secretary of the Fed.
Right.
Why were the banks allowed to have all this money with no preconditions? And nobody said, listen, why don't you go bankrupt, sell your assets?
Rob. There's a very simple answer. Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation insurance, the FDIC insurance on your deposits at your bank, only goes up to $100,000, $200,000
right.
for a couple. So the
right.
banks, if the banks went bankrupt, it wouldn't hurt the middle class. But
right.
it would hurt the rich. The simple answer to your question is the banks hold the assets of the rich. The car companies hold the jobs of the working people. And so
right.
our Congress, being the Senate, is almost exclusively made up of millionaires, and the Congress, by and large, because of the insane nature of our campaign finance laws and the rulings of the Supreme Court and things like the Boston versus Bilotti case and the Buckley versus Viejo case, that money is free speech and corporations are persons and all this kind of nonsense. The consequence of that is that the interests of the rich trump the interests of working people in the United States and in our political process. The banks are the holders of rich people's money. The car companies are simply the holders of working people's jobs. So to hell with the car companies. But, oh, my God, we can't let the banks fail.
Because I got to tell you something, Tom. The one thing that infuriates me beyond measure is the fact that I see, like, these little small mom-and-pop businesses that maybe own the land that they lived on, maybe own the building that they were in. They go out of business, and the next thing you know, I see another branch of another bank that's supposedly, you know, losing
yep.
billions and billions of dollars, yet they have enough money to put another bank branch on another corner across the street from a branch they already have.
That's right. And the small companies are going out of business because they're not the rich. They're not the ones who have 32,000 lobbyists in Washington, D.C. when there were fewer than 400 when Ronald Reagan came into office. They're not the ones who are spending millions of dollars a day in Washington, D.C. lobbying. They're not the ones who are flying politicians around on their private jets, who are sending FCC commissioners off to faraway places in luxury. They're not the ones doing that. They're just small business people like you and me. Well, I don't know about you, but like I am, and most of it, you know, working people, and you know, they don't have the voice. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620kpoj.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Robert Chandler is a strategist who has worked for the United States Air Force, the White House, the Departments of State, Defense, Energy, and Justice, and the Central Intelligence Agency. Retired Air Force colonel and Vietnam veteran, he holds a Ph.D. in political science from George Washington University, the author of numerous articles and four previous books. His newest, Shadow World, Resurgent Russia, the Global New Left, and Radical Islam. Robert Chandler, welcome to our program.
Thank you for having me.
I find your book fascinating. First of all, I loved it that you open it with a conversation about one world government. I share your concerns. I think that we may have a slightly different concern about exactly what that's going to be, and I'd like to explore that with you. And then you get into Plato and his idea of the shadow. You know, Plato's concept in the Republic was that there is a perfect world and that this world is essentially the shadow of it. And it's a good metaphor. It's an excellent metaphor to use. But in your – let's start out with the one world government that you open your book with and that is a thread throughout the book. What, in your mind, is the vehicle, the primary instrument of one world governance?
One world governance, if you take a look at humankind from the beginning, we started out with small groups, families, and then that got to be too small, so we got many families, we had towns. Next thing you know, we had monarchies, then we had states. And now everything, it seems, to be driving into a globalization from a variety of different directions. Doctrinally, from the radical left of the new Marxism, not the 20th century Marxism, but the 21st century Marxism, driving toward a world where there are no governments and everybody lives in socialist happiness. And on the other end of that is the idea that we can have a world where it'll be a theocracy, where we have a caliphate, a religious caliphate dominated by Islam.
Yeah, and these are both notions that, for example, took high visibility during the Third Reich. You know, Adolf Hitler was proclaiming that the Third Reich was going to be a worldwide government, that it was going to produce 1,000 years of peace, and that it was going to be animated by his twisted perception of what Christianity should become, with the German Church and Archbishop Mueller, who he appointed the Reich's Archbishop, and all that sort of thing. So, this is not a new idea. And I know for a long time there's been a lot of concern that the United Nations was going to be the vehicle for a one-world government, although the United Nations pretty much limits itself to issues of war and peace. Don't you think that the World Trade Organization is the perfect instrument to bring about one-world domination, the destruction? I mean, they've already essentially destroyed national borders for everything except human beings. They've said, you know, companies have more power than governments.
Well, it's not just the World Trade Organization, but it's the World Bank, and there are other transnational institutions that have kind of set up a structure for that. And the idea comes from the idea of an open society. And this is what George Soros, who has bought and paid for the Democrat Party in this country, this is his idea in terms of taking the world into a new area where there are no sovereign states.
Well, this is where I'm really baffled, Colonel. We're talking with Robert Chandler, his book Shadow World, and because you said first of all that we're going to have no governments, but we're going to have a socialist utopia, and I don't know how you can have socialism without a government to be the reallocator of wealth, as it were, and if you're not going and if you're charging that the left is trying to bring about a one-world world, the left is the group that is opposed to the World Trade Organization and the World Bank.
Well,
it seems like
charging,
your enemies are actually your allies.
I'm not charging any such thing. It boils down to me is you got to go back to the basics, and you have to understand the basics and what they are. The basics are these, is that we have in this world today, we have a thing called Marxism. It's not the old Marxism. It's a new Marxism. And this new Marxism is anti-government, anti-sovereignty, wants to do away with governments. Governments are seen as being the instruments of war, the instruments of power, the instruments of something that has to be eliminated.
Now, who on the left has suggested
that? The
only
way find their way into a socialist happy land is to get rid of governments. And so that's what the idea is.
But if you get rid of governments, then the group that steps in to fill that void is corporations.
No, in this particular case...
What's the alternative?
In this particular case, it's not even corporations. Corporations become subsumed under the development where we'll all be in happiness together. Take a look at Europe as an example of trying to get itself in. It's now a post-Christian Europe. It's a Europe where it has the European Union. It has corporations, but corporations are used in terms of their produce, of their product, to produce more programs in terms of maintaining equality between peoples
But those governments are all intact. I mean, the European Union, I think that probably a lot of European countries are starting to rethink the European Union, although the common currency seems to work well for them. But those governments are still intact. I mean, this is what just baffles me. Your concern with the left, as it were, seems to me like it should be a concern with the people in the United States who characterize themselves as the right, who are essentially corporatists, the people who are saying, let's give all the power to corporations. It's like they run around and they say, you don't want the government telling you who can take care of your health care, do you? Well, the other half of that question is, if the government isn't involved in some sort of an insurance program, then what do you have? You've got private corporations involved. Do you want William McGuire, who took a $1.7 billion paycheck from United Healthcare, telling you that you can't have health insurance so he can jack up his paycheck? I mean, isn't that the conundrum?
What is your question, sir?
The question is, or maybe a point for you to respond to, is it seems that to me, I share your concern about a one-world government. I don't want one either. And I don't think that, and I'm concerned that the WTO and this cabal of transnational corporations that essentially seem to be running the world right now are creating a one-world government in which the power of government is diminished, and it's going to be the exact opposite of socialism. It's going to be more like fascism, and any kind of social safety net is going to be destroyed in the name of destroying communism, which doesn't exist.
The competition is going on right now. It's going on for the next 60 or 70 years. Out of that will come out, it will be one of three victors. One will be democracy, and will be republics, which will be under control of democratic governments, which are answerable to the people, and the republics, which by definition are answerable to the people. And you will have that, it'll be under control, that will control the corporations or anybody else who thinks that they can dominate over others.
But nobody in the Republican Party is taking that position, sir.
You have autocracy on one side, and you have theocracy on the other side.
Yes.
Or you have democracy in the middle. You've got it.
I agree. I absolutely agree with you. And what I am suggesting to you is that in the American political scene right now, the people who are agreeing with your position that we want to be very, very careful about autocracy, about a government that is way too powerful, that's violating the Fourth Amendment, sticking its nose in other people's business, trying to track us down in our bedrooms, listening in our phone calls, all these kind of things. The people who are doing that are the people that are characterized as the conservatives in the United States, not the left. The left is opposed to that. And on the theocracy side, the people who are saying that they want to impose a theocracy in America are the people who call themselves conservatives and Republicans. It seems to me that instead of going after the new left in America, you should be going after the new right.
You know, this doesn't have anything to do with conservatives and Republicans. This doesn't have anything to do with anything whatsoever in terms of contemporary politics, in terms of who's good, who's bad, and other kinds of things. It is an issue of a long-term 60 or 70-year competition of what kind of a world that this world is going to be. Who is going to control the 8 billion people in the year 2080, as an example? That is the open question. Now, are we going to have an open society like George Soros wants us to have? Are we going to have an autocracy like the Russians would like us to have? Are we going to have a theocracy that the Salafist Wahhabis would like us to have? Or are we going to use democracy and republicanism with a small r,
yes,
and are we going to use that through a nation-state system that makes sense.
Well, let's, you know, on that, I agree with you. So we'll leave it at that point. Although your rhetoric is, well, it's interesting. People can check it out. The book is Shadow World, Resurgent Russia, the Global New Left, and Radical Islam by Robert Chandler. And, Mr. Chandler, thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much.
17 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Wasn't Jesus a community organizer? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my day tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code BLUE to get a free trial and a free webcam, too. Remember that code, BLUE, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code BLUE. WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth?
It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evening, 8 to 11. AM 620 KPI. KPOJ, 620KPOJ.com.
At a time when Portland homeowners need it the most, mortgage rates have just taken an abrupt nosedive to a 50-year low. So if you've been patiently waiting for that perfect time to refinance, pull the trigger today and lock in rates as low as, are you ready? 5% flat with an APR of 5.25. I'm Hayes Barnard, owner of Paramount Equity, and this dream rate can vanish in the blink of an eye. So be decisive and grab the phone right now. We all know this financial crisis will end, and when it does, you'll be so glad you locked in that 5% rate with an APR of 5.25. Listen, when others can't help, Paramount Equity is still committed to saving our neighbors money with zero out-of-pocket expenses. So call 718-1000 today, and when you like it, lock it. 503-718-1000.
Paramount Equity, lending with expertise. Paramount Equity Mortgage.
License number ML3256.
Here's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ.
KPOJ and WorkSource Oregon are teaming up for the 2009 Career Fair Wednesday, January 14th from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the Lloyd Center Mall. This is a great opportunity to hook up with those hiring in the greater Portland area or find the education you need to advance your career. Meet employers and educators from around the state all in one place January 14th at Lloyd Center Mall. KPOJ in Clearwater invites you to join us at the Crystal Ballroom Tuesday, January 20th for the People's Inaugural Ball, a benefit for the Oregon Food Bank. The ball is free with a ticket from KPOJ and a suggested donation of 2 cans of food. Entertainment and a silent auction are a couple of fun things to expect. Keep listening to KPOJ for complete details on how to win your tickets to this 21 and over only event. Stop by EcoFloors, located on 47th and Southeast Milwaukee Avenue. Pick up a KPOJ bumper sticker and find out about special discounts just for being a KPOJ listener.
And that's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station.
Brought to you by Orbitz.com. Worried about the price of your flight dropping after you book? Don't be. Only Orbitz has price assurance, where if another customer books the same flight as you for less, we'll automatically send you a check for the difference. Book at Orbitz.com and never overpay.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming, but we can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
There's a local politician. Said he needed our vote. He'd put 2 chickens in every pot and pave all the county roads. But we
ain't seen that son of a gun since the day he raised his hand. We're still dodging potholes, eating potted meat and spam.
So here's the problem. Welcome back, by the way. Here's the problem that the conservative ideologues have. Is that their world, and I'm not speaking specifically of our last guest. I he's not here to defend himself. I don't want to pick on him. But there's this broad thought process on the right. And you find it from, you know, that woman with the Adam's apple whose name shall not be mentioned on this show again, to people from the Heritage Foundation, to right-wing talk show hosts, to conservative politicians, to the Republican Party, meeting at Grover Norquist's house last week, well, place of business. And that is that they were defined by their hatred and fear of communism. Communism not as a political system, but as an economic system. They had, frankly, although they hid behind the fig leaf of hating the fact that Stalin murdered 20 million people, which he did, or maybe it was 10 million, whatever the number was, he murdered a hell of a lot of people. Stalin was a very, very bad guy, and in all probability, a clinically paranoid person. And they would condemn his excesses and the gulag and all that kind of stuff. And they say, well, that's why you don't want communism. But really what they were concerned about, and the proof that that wasn't what they were really concerned about, was that these were the same people who put into power Pinochet down in Chile, helped overthrow Allende, overthrow a democratically elected government, because Allende said, we're going to take some of the property of American corporations in this country and nationalize it. Our oil belongs to us. Our assets, our natural resources, they belong to us. And so we killed the guy. And we put in a dictator who started murdering people. And we had no problem with him. We supported him. And he's not the only one, by the way. The Shah was doing the exact same thing in Iran. We had the same thing going on with Somoza in Nicaragua. We had the same thing going on down in Cuba with Batista. I mean, the list is unending. We had the same thing with Diem in Vietnam. I mean, on it goes, right? So it's not that the conservatives had a problem with Stalin being a dictator. The problem they had with communism was that in its purest form, it was an economic system that did not allow for a dictatorship of the wealthy few. Now, it essentially turned into that in the Soviet Union. The reality that I think pretty much the world has figured out now is that while communism works really, really well if you have fewer than 150 people, which is about the maximum number of people that any one human being can get to know over time because of the size of our brains. As mammals' brains get smaller, the number of people in their social groups gets smaller. There's a linear relationship between brain size and social group size. So on a kibbutz in Israel, Marxism, communism works great and has for decades. Among Aboriginal and Indigenous people, tribes, clans, whether they're the Aboriginals of Australia, I have hung out with them over the years, whether it's Native Americans, I've hung out with them. I wrote about this in my books, The Prophet's Way and Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight. Whether it's the Dene people or tribal people up in Canada. When Ray Moran was that his name, Louise Ray Moran? He was the prime minister, the premier of the Northwest Territories, of, you know, all of what was Northern Canada. It's been split in half now. This was back a little more than a decade ago. He asked me to come up there, and we flew into Yellowknife, and we actually did this at Fort Resolution on the other side of the Great Slave Lake in November. It was an amazing experience. The premier and I were flying across the lake back to Yellowknife, and the co-pilot showed up plastered, and so I was the co-pilot of this little plane. But in any case, 40 degrees below zero and et cetera. Anyhow, He brought in about 250 tribal elders from all over Canada for us to have this all-day workshop about how to, this was based on the works, the books that I'd written on attention deficit disorder, on how to educate kids, because the shrinks were diagnosing all of their kids, or in some communities, actually 100% of the children with attention deficit disorder, saying put them all on Ritalin. So anyhow, wherever it may be, Aboriginal Indigenous communities, they are by and large communist. That was the model for Karl Marx. But when you get larger than that, when you get larger than 150, 200, 300 people, it doesn't work. And it turns into a bad caricature of itself. It turns into a bad caricature of capitalism, frankly. It doesn't work. So anyhow, communism collapsed, and these guys, they don't have a common enemy anymore. And so they think that I'm the enemy. They think that George Washington, the original liberal, was the enemy. They think that Thomas Jefferson, who railed against the power of banking corporations, and James Madison are the enemy. And they're lost. They're just lost. We got to worry about the left. George Soros is going to come and get us. I'm sorry. You want to worry about somebody, worry about the American Enterprise Institute, worry about the Heritage Foundation, worry about the Cato Institute. They're the ones who are hell-bent for leather on taking down American small-d democracy in this republic.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2278.
Fighting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Yes, indeed. 35 minutes past the hour. When the news flies under the radar, Christy Harvey's up there in Alaska with her NORAD radar, snatching it out of the ether and sharing it with us. Christy Harvey, the Director of Strategic Communications for the Center for American Progress, AmericanProgress.org. Hey, Christy, how's Alaska treating you?
I think actually these days the stories don't really slip under the radar as much as they freeze solid and fall to the ground. It's cold. We haven't hit positive temperatures in 10 days.
Oh, man. Yeah, the last winter that we lived in Vermont, we had three solid weeks where it never went above zero. And,
exactly. Yeah. And the first time you get in the car and you look at the thermometer and it says negative 21.
Fahrenheit.
You get really happy that you asked for long johns for Christmas. Lots of long johns.
There you go. Oh, my.
Happy New Year, by the way. How are you?
Thank you. And I'm just great. And Happy New Year to you, too. And thanks for continuing to be with us, even though you have moved to the other side of the planet. So here we have the inauguration coming up in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
I will be there. And I am hearing absolutely first of all, are you going to be there?
I'm not going to be there. I'm actually going to skip out on all of that craziness, and I'll be home the next week.
You're one of the smart people, apparently. I am hearing just totally frightening stories about, I mean, you know, bring your own toilet paper. Don't have a pocket knife. I don't carry a pocket knife anyway, but, I mean, you know, don't even have keys in your pocket. Like, they might, you know, prevent you from getting through a metal detector or something. I mean, what's the story here?
Well, they're saying, first of all, there's going to be a lot of people don't really quite realize how hard it's going to be to get around. They've closed all of the bridges from Virginia into D.C. on Inauguration Day. So unless you're part of an official motorcade, you cannot cross a bridge to come into the District of Columbia from the Virginia side. And they've closed a 50-block radius downtown, which means a lot of people are saying, oh, I don't have a car, but I'll just jump into a taxi. No taxis. So it's going to be bring walking shoes, bring warm clothing, and bring things that you normally would think you could pick up on the street or buy somewhere because you're not going to be able to. And they're saying that means things like bring some snacks, nothing metal, nothing glass, but bring a juice box or two. They're saying bring toilet paper. There's going to be porta potties everywhere, but there are going to be very few open restrooms, actual restrooms, just the porta johns. So bring BYOTP. Bring photo identification with you wherever you go. And they say not to bring things that might surprise you. I mean, everybody knows don't bring weapons. Everybody knows, you know, don't bring your knives, your pepper spray, things like that. But they're saying don't bring strollers. If you have a kid, that's great, but they're not going to let you bring the stroller into the restricted area. Don't bring umbrellas. Don't bring your bicycle. Don't bring a backpack. So basically travel as lightly as you possibly can and make sure to have that identification.
By restricted area, do you mean this 50-square-block area?
Basically, or anywhere you need a ticket to get into, which is the parade route, which are the stands, which are the balls, which are the parties, you're not going to be able to bring absolutely anything in except basically your person, your ID, and a juice box.
Holy cow. Okay. Well, I suppose it, at a certain level it makes sense. 4 million people crowding into an area that, realistically should hold 100,000 maybe at the most.
Exactly. But the good news is for people like me who aren't going to be able to make it to D.C., this is really great. HBO is going to be covering the entire inaugural weekend, and they're going to be broadcasting it for free on their HBO channels. So if you're not an HBO subscriber, if you have cable, you can watch the inauguration from the warmth and comfort of your sofa, with popcorn.
Now, moving on to other news that you've captured as it flew under the radar, Lily Ledbetter is finally having an opportunity to get her revenge is the wrong word here, what would you say? Just desserts or compensate or whatever. Not her specifically, but all the Lily Ledbetters of the United States.
Exactly. And the other good news is she's going to be traveling with Barack Obama on that whistle-stop tour he's taking from Baltimore into Washington. So that's
really
kind of cool.
I mean, because this was 19 years ago. I didn't even know if she was still around.
She's still around. Yeah, she's still out there fighting the good fight. But, yeah, Lily Ledbetter worked for Goodyear Tires, and she discovered 19 years after she'd been working there that men who were less experienced and doing less work than she did were getting a lot more money, and they were getting bigger raises, and it was just really unfair. So she sued to get what she deserved, fair pay. And the Supreme Court said, no, since you did not file this claim 6 months after that first paycheck, even though you didn't know about it, 6 months after that first paycheck, you don't get to get what you deserve.
That first paycheck 19 years ago.
19 years ago when you didn't even know.
Right.
So the Congress took this up last year. Senate Republicans blocked it. And it's coming up for a vote in the House of Representatives tomorrow. So this is a very big deal. And it's a really good thing. You know, women still make a lot less than men. There's still a lot of injustice with fair pay. And this is a very big step into saying, you know, if you're not being paid fairly, if the guy in the cubicle next to you who does less work than you do but gets paid more, then there is redress. And it really was a loophole in the law. So the new law will say you have to file a claim 6 months after any paycheck that you've received that is unfair, not just that very first one.
Yeah. Now, the Obamas are having to stay in a hotel in is Hay House, isn't it, that they're staying at?
They're staying at Hay Adams.
Yeah, Hay Adams. Yeah, thank you. Very nice hotel, and it's costing the taxpayers a small fortune for them and their security detail when, in fact, there is a 100-plus room guest residence across the street from the White House or Kitty Corner Blair House, which is the official guest residence of the White House, which typically has been where incoming presidents stay while they're waiting for the inauguration. And this time when the Obamas said, we'd like to move in, January 8th or something like that, so our kids can start school, the Bush administration said, no, you can't use it. And this story has been evolving over the last few years. Where are we at with this right now?
Well, it's very interesting because if it turns out that the rumors are true, it is so petty that it makes the rumors of, you know, popping the W's off of all the keyboards that was the big rumor after the Clintons left the White House, which turned out not to be true, but it makes that look downright classy. So what they're saying is, you know, they've put the Obamas into this hotel, and it's a great hotel, but they've had to clear rooms, and it's very expensive. They've had to rent, you know, the whole floor and put the socials, the Secret Service there. And it's just a huge pain when right across the street is the Blair House, the official guest house of the White House. It's a secure location. But the Bush White House said when the Obamas wanted to move in, so sorry, but the former Prime Minister of Australia, John Howard, has it booked that week. Sorry, you can't move in. And so Margaret Carlson, who is a fabulous reporter, she was with Time Magazine, now she works with Bloomberg News, she said that she'd been digging around and she found out, she thinks, that the guest house was booked with the former Prime Minister of Australia after the Obamas asked if they could stay there. So it just looks like it's just a petty little dig, some sort of weird little power struggle right there as the Bushes are leaving to, you know, put up the and it's 100 rooms. It's a huge place. You know, it's conceivably the Obamas and the former Prime Minister of Australia wouldn't even have to share a bathroom if they both stayed at this house and they could both be secure. But it's a very weird story. Very, very strange.
$500,000, speaking of the White House, Laura Bush introduced a $550,000 worth of new china. Why would she do this 2 weeks before they leave the White House?
How weird is that? Yes, the First Lady.
Do they get to, like, take it with them or something?
No, they're leaving it there. That's why it's so strange. But usually the First Lady is allowed to choose new china if the china is starting to look bad. Nancy Reagan had new china. I believe Hillary Clinton picked some new china. So Laura Bush couldn't decide on her new china, so she finally unveiled it Monday. And this china costs $550,000. You know, we're not talking about some plates from Crate and Barrel.
Right.
And everyone's very confused because she got her brand new Laura Bush china 2 weeks before they're leaving. So no one's quite
Amazing.
Sure why she did it in the first place.
Amazing. Christy, kind of off the topic question, this is a question from Louise, actually. When we lived in Vermont, we tried to come up with metaphors that weren't sexist and didn't have to do with body parts of negative caricatures of women to describe how cold it was outside, you know, the old colder than a fill in the blank. And we came up with things like colder than two penguins kissing or two polar bears swimming. I mean, have you come up with a whole new language to describe how cold it is in Alaska?
I really need to. I'm still so shocked by the fact that the inside of your nose freezes when you walk outside.
Yes.
And it feels like you just breathed in a bunch of bugs. That to me was so shocking that I'm still trying to deal with that. I left a cup of coffee in the car and it froze solid and split the
right.
mug.
Right.
Just little things you wouldn't really think about coming from the East Coast for your whole life.
And how's this?
Yes, we're going to have to come up.
How's the state dealing with Bristol's baby and Sarah these days, very quickly?
It's been very quiet. A lot of attention, though, on Levi Johnston, especially recently when his dad said it was a real shame that all the media attention meant that he had to start following the rules. Levi Johnston is the baby daddy, and
yeah.
they're actually openly lamenting the fact that media attention means he has to now follow the rules.
Amazing. Christy Harvey, AmericanProgress.org, and MikeCheckRadio.org. Thanks, Christy.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ. Portland's only progressive talk station.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
AM 620 KPOJ conducts various contests weekdays and weekends at various times, offering various prizes to its listeners. By participating in a KPOJ contest, you're agreeing to be bound by the official contest rules for the contest. No purchase necessary. Participants and winners must be U.S. residents, at least 18 years old, and may only enter one time unless otherwise stated in the complete official contest rules. Only one prize per household for any contest within a 30-day period. For complete contest rules, visit the main office of this station during regular business hours.
The following is a weekly test of the emergency alert system.
And now, another reason to switch to GEICO.
Instead of paying more for car insurance, you'd rather pay less. Call you crazy, but for some strange reason, you like saving money. And guess what? With things like money-saving rates, multi-car discounts, and good driver discounts, GEICO's always looking for ways to lower what you pay for great car insurance. Huh. Guess you can call us crazy, too.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, this is Coach Bobby Ross.
And I'm Coach Gene Solange, and would like to tell you why we're honored to be part of the East-West Shrine Game, football's finest hour.
Since 1925, the Shrine Game has raised millions of dollars and created awareness of the pediatric specialty care provided at 22 Shriners hospitals at no charge.
To learn more, visit ShrineGame.com or ShrinersHospitals.org.
A public service from Shriners Hospitals for Children.
D.R. Horton invites you to discover townhome living at Windswept Waters in Clackamas. Discover superior floor plans, incredible standards, and exceptional values in the safety and security of an inviting community. Prices starting in the upper 100s. Discover townhome living at Windswept Waters today. And discover more than a community, discover an opportunity to right-size your housing needs and enhance your lifestyle. Discover townhome living at Windswept Waters today. Visit drhortonpdx.com, where it is now even easier to make your dream home a reality.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master?
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the karate glove. And I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
Chop wood, concrete, trees. It can even chop through these 8 guitars.
Hi-ya! Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
I'm Greg Biffle, American Red Cross blood donor and driver of the 16 car. Please help save lives one drive at a time. Visit RedCrossRacing.com to find an American Red Cross blood drive near you and make your appointment to donate.
Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hey, Mr. President, I don't think I'd want your job. I can barely handle the simple one I got. Hey, Mr. President, how cool is Air Force One? Are those guys in the House and the Senate ever gonna get anything done? I ain't no Democrat. I ain't no Republican. We're fathers and mothers, we're wives and husbands, and we pray that we dance at our daughter's wedding.
9.5 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. Ellen Ratner with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com in Washington, D.C. Hey, Ellen.
Well, quite a bit going on. Before I get to the Obama speech, just a couple of sort of little legal notes. The U.S. District Court judge ordered the Bush administration to release information about the Bagram detainees. And, of course, the administration argued that because these people can be held without charge because there's an ongoing military conflict in Afghanistan. But Judge Bates issued the order, actually was ordered late yesterday, but didn't get out. The number of detainees currently being held in Bagram prison, the number of Bagram detainees who are Afghan citizens, and the number of Bagram detainees who were not captured in Afghanistan. And that is what he has ordered the Bush administration to produce.
That's very interesting. Yeah. By the way, we need to talk at some point. Maybe we could do it now on the air. Maybe we should talk off the air later about, you know, what we're going to do on Inauguration Day, because this show starts at noon Eastern time, which is when Obama's going to be raising his hand. How we're going to cover that.
Well, we have all kinds of ways of covering it, and you have many options, and we will talk about that.
Okay, great. Thank you. Barack Obama's speech this morning, he talked about, for example, we're going to make windmills and solar panels here in the United States, jobs that can't be exported. I'm scratching my head. Those jobs already are exported. We're buying solar panels from China, and we're buying windmills from Denmark.
Yeah, I'm not sure that his plan makes a lot of sense. I mean, they issued, some of it makes sense, some of it doesn't. Let me just get my little notes here. He said he wants to double the production of alternative energy. They want to modernize 75% of the federal buildings.
Which is great.
They want to make, but federal buildings, modernizing them in 2 years, good luck. They can't even modernize the computer system in the federal government. Making immediate investments that will ensure that within 5 years, all America's medical records are computerized. Equipping tens of thousands of schools, community colleges with 21st century classrooms, labs, and libraries. Expanding broadband across America. Well, you and I have been talking about that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And investing in science, research, and technology.
Now, here's the thing that gives me hope, Ellen, is that we have had for the last 28 years, and I include the Clinton administration in this because Bill Clinton famously said the era of big government is over. He adopted the Reagan worldview of with regard to government to a large extent. For the last 28 years, we have had people in power, basically, in the White House and by and large in Congress, who believe that government can do no right. And so they have a tendency to appoint incompetent people or not to provide the enough resources and, you know, celebrate when government screws things up. And, you know, it's gone on steroids during the Bush years, the last 8 years. And Obama believes the government can do things right and can do things well if you give it the appropriate resources, and B, you put into place the right people. And so I think it's possible that under the Bush administration, you know, they couldn't even upgrade a computer system, it may well be that under the Obama administration, they will.
Maybe. That would be very, very good. And I think, you know, the devil's going to be in the details. It is interesting that Senator Cornyn from Texas actually wrote a press release today applauding Obama's interest in openness in government and also earmarks, or lack of earmarks. So I thought that was interesting from the Republicans. Also, the Congress asked a federal judge today to force the Bush administration to keep its disputed records at the White House instead of turning them immediately over to the National Archives. They said that they've subpoenaed these documents, and once they're turned over to the, particularly about the firing of the prosecutors, and they said they want to ensure that those documents don't get sent by the outgoing Bush administration to the National Archives, because then it could take, you know, months, years, days, whatever, to get those back.
Right. Now, what about the 5 million missing White House emails that were on Mike Connell's servers at in Tennessee, he who just recently died in the plane crash?
Well, it'll be interesting to see whether we ever see those. My guess is we're not. As Oliver Stone said, leaving the Kennedy records where they were would be like leaving a Rolls Royce on the middle of the street in a bad neighborhood and expecting to see it in 30 years.
Right.
Also, the United Nations has halted any humanitarian assistance to Gaza. Yesterday, I was in probably one of the most depressing briefings I have ever been. It's been 3 hours a day that they have allowed humanitarian assistance in, but they said their facilities have come under fire from Israeli forces, and they are said they are temporarily halting shipments of humanitarian aid to Gaza.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
apparently,
a U.S. truck driver
was killed.
You know what they've discovered off the coast of Gaza? Natural gas.
Ah.
Yeah. In fact, actually, it was discovered in 2000. The British Gas owns 60% of it, Consolidated Contractors 30%, and the Palestinian Authority owns 10%. Apparently, there's been a big battle between Hamas and the Palestinian Authority over who controls that 10%. And the Israeli government has now said that they don't want Hamas to be paid in cash for the gas when they start pumping it because they're a terrorist organization. It gets stranger and stranger.
But there's gas, there's war.
Yeah, I guess so. Ellen Ratner, well said. Thank you. Ellen Ratner, TalkRadioNews.com. Thanks, Ellen.
Thank you.
Good talking with you. Coming up tomorrow, of course, it's Friday. It's Brunch with Bernie. Bernie Sanders will be with us, plus Anything Goes Friday. Your calls throughout the day. So we'll see you then. Don't forget, my friends, democracy begins with you. Activism begins with you. It all starts when we, you and I, all, every single one of us, gets out there, gets active. Tag, you're it. See you tomorrow.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.